You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A Water Safety New Zealand report has found 90 people died by drowning last year, the worst year for drowning fatalities since 2011. I chatted with Water Safety New Zealand's Chief Executive Daniel Gerrard about the report's findings and risk factors associated with them. 90 New Zealanders drowned last year. What is this shocking statistic symptomatic of?
Predominantly, it seems to still be us overestimating our own ability and underestimating the challenge or the risk. So making some silly decisions around whether to go in or not.
What are the predominant risk factors this report revealed of drowning?
The risk factors are all about having the right skills and the right equipment. So if we were to look at power boats, 6 metres, that common fishing boat that's used, 85% of the fatalities that occurred there, people didn't have a life jacket on. So something as simple as wearing a life jacket when you're in a boat, that would potentially solve 13 fatalities. Fitness and equipment had 7 individuals die whilst diving, free diving, predominantly kai gathering. Of those, the majority were undertaken on days where the weather was totally inappropriate to be going diving. However, for some reason, the risks were taken. The other one is around under fives and the supervision of those individuals. You know, these little New Zealanders, they need to be within arm's reach. So active supervision of those little people is absolutely crucial.
Where were the concentration of drownings? Were you finding they were predominantly in one of the two islands?
Yeah, it is all linked to bigger populations and warmer conditions. So the holiday spots in the North Island are definitely where things are happening, and around beaches and sort of tidal areas are the vast majority. Over half occurred in those environments. About another third occurred around rivers. So they're the three, the two sort of big main areas. But it is predominantly where more people are associating and where the weather and water.
The report linked the ballooning cost of living to why so many people are going into the water for kai moana. Can you explore that a little bit more for us?
Yeah, we are going to go deeper into this and have a better look. Because, as I said, the fatalities in the underwater space, 70% of them were Māori and in the active kai gathering. Likewise, 70% of those that were land fishing were of Asian ethnicity. And we're seeing a really strong link into the fact that this is no longer a recreational activity or something we just do with our mates for fun. This seems to be about putting food on the table. So if that's the case, so for example, perhaps, the weather conditions weren't right to go for a fish, but you needed to, you're making a bad decision, but it's a decision that whānau needs. So, some work around that. And, one of the options, anecdotally, we've heard that, the customary permit that marae can issue for an event or a tangi, for example, if unable to go for that dive to gather the kai, that perhaps one of the iwi fishing companies or organisations could actually fill that quota for them. So it's those sorts of solutions we'd be looking for to help turn the curve on that one.
What can our listeners do to protect themselves and their whānau in the water? What is the water safety code you'd like to reiterate?
Yeah, it is pretty straightforward. When we do think about the beautiful environment we have, the wonderful waterways we have, the beautiful summers we've been having of late, it really does come down to a lot of personal responsibility. But from a water safety code perspective, it's being prepared and knowing where you're going and what you're going to be doing. It's making sure you're not going alone. You're there watching out for yourself and your mates. If you're going to a new location or it's a beach or something challenging, we need to know and be aware of what the dangers are in that environment. It could be a new location, for example. But most importantly, knowing your own abilities and knowing your limits. And the simplest, message is, if in doubt, just stay out. Make sure that you enjoy our environment, connect to it appropriately, but you do come home at the end of the day.
A number of times I'm at the beach getting into some new waves. They're actually quite a lot stronger than I thought they were. And it's just that split second where you can suddenly find you're out of your depth and it's taken you away.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, there's a lot of investment from government to the frontline rescue services. So tens of millions of dollars goes to Coast Guard and Surf Life Saving to be there at the bottom of the cliff to rescue you. What we need is a long-term approach to behaviour change that we are bold enough to say, right, this is going to take a few years to see the fruits of our labour here, but we need long-term approaches to it. And that's about building skills for youngsters, water skills for life, incorporating into school programming. Children do understand how to keep themselves safe. 90 is just horrendous. It's so tragic, the impact on all those family and whānau.
In winter, things can get a little bit wilder. Wilder weather.
Fatalities. A rock fisherman day before yesterday passed away up north. And as you said, you know, if they're going out to put food on the table, it's just indicative of so many other social challenges we've got.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.